Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven said you to me. I'm just hoping I don't repeat history. Boy, I'm trying to meet your mama on Sunday.
You deserve, promise you always come first, yeah. Forget about your past, baby. I'm your future, ain't nothing like your last, baby. Show you things you never had, baby. Show you things you never had, yeah. I will never hurt you, do anything to make you cry. I will always love you, even when I'm bad, I still apologize. Why? 'Cause you were my baby.
About our lives, tell you I got you through thick and thin. Just catch good vibes, the sway of the breeze. let it take you to ecstasy. Up, up and away, let it take you away. Catch good vibes through the sway of the breeze. Let it take you to ecstasy. Up, up and away, let it take you away. Catch good vibes.
I wanna Little baby, open up your heart. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I'm your host, La Perla Negra, and this is Divas Talk. I'm joined tonight once again by my lovely panel of divas. I got my diva Lisa Lips in here. How you doing, Miss Lips?
I'm good, I'm good. Rainy night here in Alabama. Got me in kind of a mood.
Okay. I wish it was raining here. I love the rain. And sometimes it's much needed. You know, the smell of it, the sound of it, everything, all that good stuff. Let me open up this next mic to my other diva. Got our Canadian connection, Lady A. How you doing tonight, diva?
Hi, I'm doing okay. It's a quiet night. It's good to be here. Good to hear your voices. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. You know, we say that. We ask each other, how are you doing? We're all lying, I know.
Well, it's not so much a lie. It's just a certain part of us is feeling a particular kind of way. But for the most part, I'm okay, you know. And I think the rest of us are. It's just that one particular part that our mind and our heart is at battle with, you know. And we, life be licensed, you know. It happens. But we don't stay there too long. Hopefully we don't stay there too long and we get past it. But, ladies, let me get back to introducing the show. You are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please press 1 and join us. We love you, too. And this is sponsored by Raw Link. Why be average when you can be raw? Ladies, I got my Raw Links on. You got yours on?
Absolutely.
Always.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Now, before I go any further, I have to give a big shout-out and hello and thank you to someone who is a very good friend of mine. And he is not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, he is the CEO and creator of Raw Links, those beautiful pieces of jewelry that me and my diva speak about. And you can acquire them on Amazon and at Raw Links Be Raw at Facebook.com. And if you can't get them from there, make sure you holler at any one of us here in Epiphany, and we will make sure that you get to adorn your body with these beautiful pieces of jewelry. Now, his name is Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas. Baby, baby. Yeah. ladies, tonight, I'm asking the question, and I'm sure you are curious too. I want to know about all of you. I want to know, what part of your poetry is the most important to you? Is it getting the message and the meaning across, being heard, or just writing it? So I'm going to start with you, Miss Lips. What part of your poetry is most important?
I've actually been thinking this over, and I think it's trying to get the message across somewhat, but a lot of my poetry is just my therapy. It's getting out what is trapped inside that I don't know how to say, you know, without my pen. So, yeah, but I do try to put a message out when I'm doing my pieces.
Okay. Lady A, what about you? What is the most part of your poetry?
I think I have to agree with Lisa entirely, because it's a voice for me to express my thoughts and my feelings, whether, you know, which can vary from happiness to sadness, and I think that writing poetry for most poets, I believe, it is their therapy. It is their their way of saying things that perhaps they can't say to somebody face-to-face, or they say it in the poetic form because it's too difficult to say it in a conversation, perhaps. And it's a wonderful way to express yourself.
Okay. I agree. I absolutely agree. For me, the most part of my poetry, yes, is penning it. It's getting it out of my system. Writing for me is therapeutic as well. And once that pen meets paper, everything starts to come out. And for the most part, I feel better. Even though it's still a lingering emotion attached to it, lingering emotions attached to it. And some, you know, a lot of times when I write, it's probably about someone. And I find it's someone that I can't really find the will or the courage to express it to. So I do it easily with my pen. And if they should hear it, they'll hear it. If they don't, they don't. But I kind of got it out of my system. You know, things will bother us and build and build and build if we don't release it some way. And it's a lot of ways to release, but for me, either speaking it, either saying it verbally or writing it down. And most of the time for me, it's writing it down. So, yeah, my pen is my therapy, my pen and my ink, man. Yes, absolutely. It is. So, ladies, it is actually a half hour into the show, and bills must be paid. So let me do a quick identifier, and we'll be right back. Okay?
Okay. Sure.
Tiffany Radio.
All right, welcome back. ladies, I'm ready to get into some poetry. You have to excuse me. My allergies is messing with me, and my energy is just a little bit low. Because like I said, life be life, and so you may hear my voice crack, or you may hear it just like skip a little bit because of that. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you, ladies? You ready to, I was going to say you guys, y'all ready to get into some poetry?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to start tonight with you, Lady A.
Okay. I thought this was an interesting topic, and people write for different reasons. And I, as we were talking about being therapy and that sort of thing, we learn when we're first born, there are stages of growth and development. And one of the very first one is called trust and mistrust. And so when a baby cries, hungry or wet or whatever, had the parents come and take care of the baby and clean the baby, feed the baby, hug the baby, rock the baby. And that develops a trust that they know when they cry that someone's going to come and take care of them and help them. If they don't have their cries answered, then they become, they eventually stop crying because they know no one's going to come. And mm-hmm. so they develop at a very infancy mistrust of human beings, that they know that they're not going to get their needs met. And I wrote this piece quite a long time ago, and it speaks to that. It was 2019, I guess it wasn't all that long ago. And what can happen when you have no way of speaking, as we were talking about our pens, no way of speaking sometimes can turn into something really horrible when children are silenced in their own lives and in their own houses and homes. So this is called Silenced.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. He learned not to cry, not for food, pain, or when terrified. Wet and cold and mad on the floor, he waited for her to come through the door. He learned not to cry. Tears flowed, she struck a blow. Silenced, not one tear shed again. This was the beginning of the end. He learned not to cry. Torture fed the hate within. Fantasies of blood consumed her face amid scarlet red. He grins. He learned not to cry. Contempt for women, the female form, each thrust of the blade pleasure born. Revenge is mine, says the child driven mad. He learned not to cry. With each victim, she died. End peace.
Oh, go ahead, Lisa Lips. What you got for
that? That was heavy, man. But that's very true. Yeah, these traumas and these people that you see that do these atrocious things, there's a deep-seated childhood trauma behind a lot of that. You know, something that is inbred into them that they don't even really recognize at first is why they do it. They just know that they have this rage and they don't know where it's from.
Speaking, when we speak our heart and our soul and our minds and our thoughts and our fears and all the things, emotions that we have, if we can speak them out loud, it helps us. Helps us to cope with daily life. And with those people who sometimes don't have a voice, and I will say that I was one from my childhood, but I found it in different ways to be able to speak my heart, and certainly writing. During my adult life, I found writing was a way out of that silence.
I know for myself, I wasn't ignored as a child, but I was put in a child's place. Speak when you're spoken to, you know, and you know, no crazy outbursts that would embarrass somebody, you know. So, and from that, I learned how to be kind of a wallflower, and you know, just stay out of sight until I'm needed. And I still find myself doing that to this day. So I get that. I understand that.
Yeah, I myself had gone through that, but mine, I was cut off at a very, very early age. It wasn't stay in a child's place. It was just don't speak, period. And like I said several times, the house I grew up in never felt like home. Because a lot of bad things took place within those four walls, and I was not allowed to complain about it. And I remember this very, very early on. So I had trust issues. I didn't trust anybody. I stayed very, very fearful all the time. And when you're a child, you don't understand why you got butterflies in your stomach every time you hear a certain voice or you go to walk out the door. I was afraid to go outside for a long time, sometimes. It almost was like my birth was undesired, but it happened, you know, and I just always felt like the outsider. So I remained very, very silent for a long, long time. It was hard for me to adjust to being out in society, going to school, just being around people. I still to this day don't like crowds of people because I'm always wondering who's going to do what. And it, especially the society we live in today, you know, everybody's snapping, people don't care, they're very violent. And it's about me, my all the time. And just, or they're doing it, you know, for the social media thing, the attention thing, you know, they do really careless shit to people. I was looking at a video earlier, and I think this happened several months ago. It might have been last year. A girl was taking a selfie of herself at a baseball game or a football game, something like that. And she was in the stadium, and there were two girls behind her that noticed she was taking this picture of herself, and they decided to start making fun of her. And saying certain things, they even put the middle finger up. They purposely put themselves over in view of the camera. And the woman that was taking a selfie was starting to feel bad. She's starting to feel funny. But I'm going to tell you something. Jealousy is ugly. And I believe that's all it was about. The woman that was taking the picture of herself, she's a very pretty woman. She's beautiful. But these two girls behind her was kind of, they weren't up to par with her as far as, you know, outward beauty. And the girl, the video went viral of her taking this selfie. You know, she posted it and stuff, and them girls got a lot of backlash. But, you know, that's what I'm talking about. People just do things for selfish reasons because somebody told me this, society has them believing that anything that they do is okay now. And it's wrong. It's thoughtless. They have these callous ways about them, these nonchalant things. And it's like if you speak up for yourself, you're wrong for feeling the way that you feel about this thoughtless shit that they do. You know, it's just like that woman that claimed to be attacked by men, be hit in the face with a brick. But a few years ago, she did the same kind of video. And come to find out, the hospital that she went to, I think it was a nurse that was attending to her, said it was not a hit from a brick. She injected saline into the side of her face to make it swell up like that. But her personality is very aggressive and ugly. She was going around smacking people, especially white people. She was smacking them, talking about they don't deserve to be, something like that, you know, and she was a shit starter. She would mess with, and before she made that video crying, talking about somebody hit her in the face with a brick, she was in the club, in a nightclub, okay, because this video she made of this alleged brick assault took place right outside that nightclub that she was in. And she was starting fights with other girls in the club. So, you know, this is what I mean about this selfishness, this carelessness. People just want to do shit just to get attention. They have this social media thing. They want the likes and whatever else it is they call clout or whatever the hell they call it. I don't know. But this is how society makes them believe that everything is just okay. And it's not. It really isn't. But I really like that piece. I resonate, you know, it resonates with me a lot, Lady A, and I appreciate that. Now,
thank you so much.
Ms. Lips, you're welcome, baby. Ms. Lips, what you got for us tonight?
Well, like I said, my poetry is my therapy. And sometimes when any particular emotion is overwhelming in me, I have to write it right then. And so the piece that I'm bringing tonight is one of those kind of pieces where I was angry and upset with myself with some things. So I wrote this piece, and it's entitled Purple.
The mic is yours.
Thank you. Purple was my favorite color because it represented royalty. It stood out against nature. And Prince himself was its true ambassador. Even in the movies, the color purple was God's inflection. How dare you not acknowledge it? But I've come to realize that for me, purple wasn't what it was set out to be. For me, purple represented the sadness and disappointment of the blues and my rage of having been so oppressed by the ones who claimed to love me that my soul burned red within me. Purple was representative of all that was wrong with me, all that I wanted to run from, all that I despised in myself. Downtrodden blues and simmering flames of red rage that boiled together into my purple dungeon. So now I need to find the sunshiny yellows and fresh greens that give lusciousness. I need to be freed from the roiling fears of being a constant disappointment to anyone I try to love, to the me I've hated but can never let go of. Yellows and greens and affirmations of life, not fake royalties and hiding in the crevices of deep hues meant only to disguise me from really being seen. Because time keeps ticking, and I can never reclaim what was lost and all the things I missed while existing, and my purple haze can never be. I need to feel yellow and find lushness in green and seek my soul cycle before the final darkness when nothing can be fixed and the purple fades to blackness forever. I'm lit and you've just been serving.
Wow.
Wow, it's great.
Yeah, what you got for that,
really,
Lady?
Yeah, I really, you're so transparent when you write, and you really use, I like the use of the word purple, the color purple, in the context that you did. I didn't get a chance to write, I usually type it out some things so I can refer to them afterwards, but your piece was, again, this element of sadness about not feeling loved, had, or not feeling good enough, and the royalty part of the purple, you almost, the regal part of it is that you expect to be treated in a certain way, and it's such a great disappointment when people hurt you, and you're bruised. The purple can be bruises, too. That your heart's bruised, and sometimes your skin will be bruised. I really love how you tied that color purple, in with so many aspects of your emotions and your life. It was really well written. I I really liked it. It gives you a lot of time to really think about the important things in life. And you always come to that conclusion in the end that you are good enough, that you are your own best friend, and which is great. And but it doesn't fill that tiny little hole that needs to be filled by somebody else's love to plug you into that, you know, that little, yeah. little that little spot. We can't give it to ourselves.
Right.
You know, yeah, you do such a great job, and it's so emotion-packed. Your writing, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. You are transparent. You're very transparent. And that is one of the attractive things about your pen. And you express it so well, so clearly when you do. And yes, purple, it not only stands for royalty, but it also stands for passion. Something about the deep, the dark color, the richness of it, that brings to mind passion and pain as well. And I just, man, I love your pieces. Sometimes I will read them over and over or listen to them back to back just to grasp at something new, a different line in there, because I get something, I grasp at something new every time I listen to it or read it over and over again. And that's just what your poetry does for me. And this piece, it was amazing. And I truly, truly appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, sometimes, you know, the only thing I can do is write. You know, when the emotions get so overwhelming that you can't speak it, the only thing I can do is write it. And this was one of those pieces.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It gets like that. A lot of my pieces come from that. Most of my pieces come from a place of emotion, unless I'm writing about eroticism, and that comes from a different place of feeling.
Yeah, but it's still about emotions.
Yeah.
It's still about emotions, and a lot of my erotic pieces are either remembrances of something, or they are what I wish my erotic life to be.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
So they're still, yeah, it's still about the emotion of it all.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. I did a piece earlier. I was sent a piece, and something in me clicked, and I was like, I gotta write now. For the most part, because I've been working on my projects. Y'all know I crochet, and I have projects to actually complete. So I've been spending a lot of time working on that. And I haven't really given any time to writing, but there is a piece that, like I said, was sent to me earlier, and it stimulated me. I was like, now I want to write. So I put my yarn and my hook down, and I started writing. I was like, okay. And sometimes, I want to ask you something. Have you ever written pieces and some of the lines, they just don't make no kind of sense, but you put them in there anyway? And then later on, I'm the kind of person that goes back and I read my pieces. I'm not that one and done. I know a lot of poets will just write and they won't read their piece. They won't go back and look at it. They'll just leave it raw like that. I have to sit back and and go over my pieces, because there's something in there. There's a word placement that I won't take it out of the piece, but I'll put it in under a different line or in a different stanza, and then I'll be satisfied with it. Have you guys ever do that with your poetry?
I do. I go back. But sometimes, like this piece, every piece I write, when I start it, I put the date and time before I wrote the first word in the title. And then when I finish it, I copyright it with the date and the time that I finish it. This was one of those pieces that just jumped out. I started writing this piece at 12:19, and I finished it at 12:36.
Wow.
Okay.
Don't you love it when it flows like that? Oh.
I do.
Good.
Yes, I do. But, ladies, I have talked enough. I have actually two pieces to give to you. I have one that I wrote a while ago, and I believe y'all heard it. But we got a treat because my diva, Mrs. VIP, has allowed me, she's trusted a piece that she wrote for this show tonight, and she's trusting me to read it. So... I got this for you.
All right. Mike, it's yours.
Thank you. I write to release my feelings. Believe it. Poetry has saved me from me. On days when I thought I couldn't make it, could no longer take it, I had to write it out. Fears hit the paper and blurred my words, but God knew what was in my heart. Sometimes when the world is too much, the wars, indecency, injustices, I must write to be heard. Someone will hear my words and think to go on the path, to go on that path that few travel, to do what is right no matter how wrong it feels. I don't write to be famous or rich. That's not my desired effect, not to just write, but to be known to my peers as a poet. With a brilliant imagination and sweet spirit is my wish. I write to become proficient with my metaphors, my verbs and adjectives too, to make one feel as I do, to evoke feelings of pleasure or joy beyond measure. Either way my pen goes, how I feel will never be mistaken, and I will remain true to myself with poetry unshaken. You know what? I love my diva's pen. I swear I do. But when she trusts me to read her pieces, I'm a little shaken. I'm a little nervous because I want to do it justice. I don't want to stumble over my words or anything like that, and I want to just. I want to hopefully give it to you guys the way she meant it to be. So this is a beautiful, beautiful piece. And yes, Diva, you are a poet. Okay, you are proficient with your metaphors and your verbs and your adjectives. All of that that you hope it to be, you wish it to be, you are. Yes, ladies, what do you think about that piece?
That piece is a reflection of why most of us do what we do, you know, because we have things that are welled up within us that we have to put out in the world, and whether it be received as therapy, as art, as whatever you may perceive it to be, it's what's within us that we have to get out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lady A?
Yeah, I agree with that. It doesn't matter what those feelings are. I mean, you have, it's like if you're really happy, you're bursting with that happiness and you want to tell somebody anything that's wonderful and good and exciting, you got to tell somebody so that you can share it. And for some reason, when there's pain involved or sorrow, people, you know, like, well, you know, I can't really say anything because, you know, it might upset them, or they don't feel the same freedom to express in the same enthusiastic way that they express their joy and happiness. They reserve that for those times. But when it comes time, and with the hard things in life, you know, to let it go and allow yourself to express those feelings too. And I think she did a great job expressing her own emotions in her poetry. And yes, you did a great job with that too, Danielle, I think. And I think there's I don't know why we cut ourselves off when there's something bad happening to us, or we have a tendency to just clam up and don't say anything to anybody, and then it manifests itself in other ways. It manifests itself in physical illnesses, or you know, depression and all of that sort of stuff. So there is a freedom to utilize your pen and voice those very things in your poetry. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, ladies, I wrote a piece. I don't know, you may have heard this. I may have sent it to you or not, but this is called Until I Could. You know, there's other things to talk about other than sex. I'm going to talk about love. And it may sound strange because this is a different kind of love. A love that was never given a chance to reach its full potential. Yet within me, it continued to grow. In my heart, we were the perfect recipe. He'd send his energy invading my sacred space, and I was always open to receive. Because no matter where I was and what I was doing, it just felt amazing. I don't know why I was connected to him the way I was, but I know I wanted more and more and more and more until I didn't. Because it started to hurt. Then somehow, somewhere deep within, I knew we weren't meant to be. I guess it was the way he'd withdraw and leave me feeling abandoned and longing. Not sure if I'd ever have that connection ever again. And then realizing it was a pattern for him. It became habit for me. Unable to break it. Crying and praying and praying and crying. Please, God, sever this bond. Break this spell. He has my heart in a chokehold, and freedom's need just out of reach of my fingertips. But I kept telling myself, I miss our energy exchange. I can't do it. I just can't break away, and I'm done hating myself for allowing me to feel all the feelings he wanted me to feel. That was my cry. I cried. And the prayer I prayed until I could. And that's that piece.
Wow.
Yeah. Go ahead, Lady A.
Yeah, you know what? I really, when you put everything together, you know, your feelings of abandonment and longing, and this guy walks into your life and you feel that he can maybe alleviate some of that when perhaps, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but, and then perhaps, you know, they make it worse, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they're not good for you. And I think mm-hmm. we have to look back, like when you were, the things that you experienced as a young girl had to have just been so devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Really miraculous that you have come to a place where you've had your children, you're a pillar in the community, so this is the Epiphany community, and you know you have such a positive influence on. It's a sheer and utter miracle when you think about what you experienced when you were younger, and this poem speaks to that. You know, you have that element always in your poetry about. There's always an element of the past, but more importantly, there's an element of how you deal with the present and the future. sometimes, I don't know, like sometimes it can be, you know, a very painful experience to be in love or think you're in love or you think you got the right person or you think that things are going well and they're not. And it makes you wonder if that part of that little girl is still stuck there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to hear you sometimes because I sense it's there, you know, that little bit of your life experience has got to change you in some ways. It's affect you. So even though you have been a successful human being, you still, I think, are, I'm just, you know, I'm nobody. I just, what I'm observing through your poetry is, you know, you still have that pain inside of you.
Yeah, you're right. You know, there's still a part of a heartbreak within me that I never allowed myself to finish crying for.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can feel it. You know, there's some things that take place within our lives later on. And because I didn't allow for that time, that proper healing time, it will surface. And it'll
mm-hmm.
make me really, really emotional. And I won't know where the shit's coming from sometimes. I just know that I'm very emotional about everything. You know, and it makes me feel like sometimes I can't breathe right.
Yeah.
And that's when I realize, I'm emotionally intelligent enough to realize it's time for me to fall back just a little bit and
mm-hmm.
assess it and deal with it. And it's called shadow work. You gotta face it and release it. And, yeah. That's pretty much it. But you are so right, Lady A. Thank you for that. You're right.
You're more than welcome.
Absolutely.
Keep on writing, you know.
Thank you.
Sometimes our salvation.
Oh yeah. You are absolutely right. Yeah. I think some of my best pieces come from my heartbreak, the past, you know. But there are pieces where I'll get the writing and then all of a sudden my paper will start tearing and the words will be blurry because, you know, when your tears hit the paper, it's hard for you to write after that. And I don't know where it'll be coming from. But I'm like, this piece is not that emotional. Why am I feeling like this? And I think, like, you know what? Yeah, they're still, you know, not fresh, but still heartbreak that is alive amongst the ruins deep within your heart, where other heartbreak that you've healed from is you know, it's still, it's lingering. It's lingering. So, you know, and I think I might be going through that. Plus, you know, menopause fucks with you too.
Yes.
That make you emotional too, out of nowhere. Your hormones just be raging and be out of control, you know. So I don't know what to blame it on, but I know I got some internalizing to do and some work to do on myself, pretty much.
But for real, I mean, none of us are 100% healed. We never will
mm-hmm.
be, because that's perfection.
That's right.
Yeah, perfection is you know, a myth. So, in that piece, I kind of sort of saw some of the narcissism that you speak about from your husband, where
mm-hmm.
you loved him and he loved you loving him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so I can see some of that in that piece as well, where, you know, he loves you loving him. And you
mm-hmm.
you just love him, and his love that you want for yourself is about him. It's not about you at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it was. And I gotta be honest, ladies. I've never been in a relationship where the love was reciprocated. It was always unrequited, but I would always give of myself. Because I came from a toxic background, meaning my immediate family, I thought that's the way it was supposed to be. And I thought I was just here to make them feel better, regardless of how they reacted to me, how they treated me. And all they had to do was give me a few kind words, just like the person that physically abuses their person. They come back with trinkets and gifts and I'm sorry. That was pretty much all it took. It was never physical abuse. I was in one physically abusive relationship, and I didn't stay in that one too long because I knew I was going to kill him if I didn't, and my mother was going to shoot him too. So I got out of that. And you know what's crazy about that is they come back later on. It's like years later with a smile on their face, like nothing existed in the past that they
right.
did to you. But I have never been in a relationship where I was truly felt like I was loved. Now I know what true love is because I love myself. I fell in love with myself. But it took for me to be alone and away from that toxicity to learn how to love myself. So I know it exists because I possess it, but I haven't had that in my life. Not yet. I ain't giving up hope, you know, but I haven't experienced yet. You know. But thank you, ladies, for that. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
I feel so.
I have
stuffy
a message
right now.
For all of us. From C-Double 34 said that he is on a little getaway and he won't be able to join us tonight, but he sends his love and he'll see us next week.
All right. Thank you, C-Double. Appreciate that. I've seen your number, but I've seen when your call dropped, and that's cool. I understand. Life be lifing. That's my motto. Life be lifing. That's it. I'm going to get it on a T-shirt. Say, life be lifing. Okay? That way, all your questions is answered. Okay? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all your questions are answered. If I fall back and y'all don't hear from me for a while and then you hear from me later on, I'm going to say, life be life. That's it. Okay. That's your answer. Any questions that you have. ladies, it is now 11 minutes into the 10 o'clock hour, and it is time for another station identification. So I'll be right back. All right.
Epiphany Radio, the for real entertainment network.
Let's love, let's love. Let's love, let's love. Let's love, let's love.
All right, everybody. Welcome back.
Got my body rolling. I love that day going. That one is the one that gets my body rolling going.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. It is. It is. It is. It's all right. But you know what? I've been doing this so long. I find myself jamming to even the on hold music before the show actually starts. I'll be like, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the blog talk music, but I find myself tapping my foot to it or swaying a little bit. Like, wait a minute,
right?
You're right. You know, I wonder if anybody else does that too. So, but we got a caller in here, ladies. I'm gonna open up this microphone, and I believe this is Ms. Gina Storm. How you doing, Gina? Welcome to Divas Talk.
Happy Wednesday. It's me.
I was just getting ready to ask you, what day is it? You know what, y'all? I can
Wednesday.
Always count on
Happy
her.
Happy Wednesday, y'all.
Yeah, to let me know what day of the week it is, because you know what? I'm losing track sometimes, but I know once I see Gina's number, I already know. I ain't got to worry about what day it is because she's going to tell me.
She's going to come in and say it. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, absolutely. It's so funny that people that I'm related to say, if they get a text message from me on any day of the week, they're like, happy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're like, ooh, whatever the day is, I might have forgot it until now, but as soon as I get that text message, I know, oh, wow, this is whatever day, because I always say. So, yeah, I'm here in this Wednesday. Thank you for having me.
And it's a good thing. It's a good thing because, you know,
amen.
The older we get, sometimes we, you know, it gets to the point, sometimes you can walk from one room to the other and be like, damn, what did I come in here for? You know?
Right.
So you kind of, you know, you settle that a little bit when you
I live with my
say,
mom.
Yo, hello.
They have to call each other's phone because they don't know where they left their phone. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Or when we're in Walmart and one of them gives me, you know, the grocery list and I do my half and they're doing theirs and I can't find them. I'm like, find my mom. My phone will do just that because it's set up to do it. So all I know is this, you know, well, we're imperfect. But thanks to these devices that know everything about us and follow us everywhere we go, we ain't never lost. Sometimes we're just confused, but we ain't never lost.
That is one of the good things about these devices because, yeah, they will help us locate, and that's a good thing. I wish I had it set up where I had some kind of chip in my glasses because I swear I went downstairs to answer the door, right? And I only need my glasses for reading, okay? So I will take them off sometimes, and I will set them on my night table drawer, or I will push them up on top of my head. Right? And just that quick, when I got downstairs and I'm having a little pain management going on today. It's one of my bad days today. So by the time I got downstairs, whoever was knocking at the door, they left. Okay. I thought it was one of my deliveries and packages or something, but I got back upstairs and I was mad because I couldn't find my glasses. And it was on top of my head. You know, I found out they was up there. I put my other pair on.
Oh, God,
on,
no. You
and
had
they fell
them.
Down
they just
on top
went on your
of
eyes. Oh,
girl,
my God.
I was like, you know what? That don't make no kind of sense. They went boop, flipped right down. I said, I even asked my son. I said, can you look and see if maybe I left my glasses on the table downstairs?
He was like, Mom, they on your head.
He didn't even notice. He came upstairs, and
I
don't even think he looked directly at me because he was searching for them in, like, the bathroom. Maybe they fell off on the steps or in the hallway or something.
That you might be wearing your glasses. Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. We're that family. Us two. I think y'all.
Okay.
Us two.
Okay.
We do it every day.
It's all good, though. It's all good. That's why I keep multiple pairs.
When my mom was getting ready to leave the house, I was like, Mom, you got your glasses, your cane, your purse, your cup. And then the second mom, I'm like, you got your glasses, your cup, your keys.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I do. And I was like, okay, so y'all can go. So they were sitting in the driveway for like a hot minute, and the exhaust was coming underneath the garage door. And I came out here to smoke weed, and I was like, are y'all trying to kill me? What's going on? She said, we're putting in – no. They wasn't trying to kill me, though. She said, we're putting in the coordinates for the GPS because you're our human GPS. And since you're not going with us, we need to follow the prompts. And I was like, okay, I'll let y'all have that. Then they pulled off, and all I could think was, damn, if I didn't have to do laundry and start dinner and some old stuff, I would have went with y'all. But I hate going to the cancer hospital. I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
People say this. They say this all the time. They're like, why does it bother you? And I said, because I smell it. They were like, smell what? Cancer. They were like, how? I don't know. I just do.
You know what? We all pick up on something different a lot of times. I had a girlfriend who could smell ringworm. She could tell you that you got it. Yeah, yeah. I had a guy that I used to work with. You didn't have to be close to him. And I'm a clean woman. I got a complexion about body odor, and you know,
here
you ladies know,
it's OCD.
As we get older,
it's OCD.
Yeah,
the Perla Negra is OCD for real, for real. I am about hygiene every day of the week.
Okay.
So if somebody is saying they smell something, you know it ain't you.
But I check anyway. I still be checking. I'm like, okay, I'm good. But he could literally like. He'd be working at the same building, and I'd get out my car, and before I even walk over to the pavement to come into the building, he was like, your cycle on, ain't it?
Oh, you know that don't make sense. I got a cat.
Yes,
no, for real. She hasn't been fixed yet. She's going to be fixed on November 1st, and her cycle synchronized with me and my child. I'm almost 54 years old. My daughter will be 32 this month. My cat, Luna, turns into a lunatic every month when it's time for us to come on. And Stephanie said, oh, Luna acting a fool. I was like, yeah, so I got cramps. How are you feeling? She was like, cramps. I said, okay, as long as you know. She ain't doing it for nothing. She doing it because she done synchronized with us. That's a hot mess.
That's how it is, you know. Life be life. Huh? That's my answer to everything. Life be life.
Ooh, man, and it's so hard to adult. We be adulting, but they don't make it easy.
I know, and I don't want to. Look, when I got grown, I thought it was going to be the shit. I don't want to adult no more. I don't. It's not what I thought it was stacked up to be. You know, you got bills and responsibilities. Ain't nobody tell me about this shit when I was a kid.
Uh-uh.
I knew I wanted to be grown. They give you no handbook.
I
want to
be a
no
Toys R Us kid. I don't know about anybody else, but I wish I could go back. For real. This is a hot mess. I hate it here.
Oh, what they say, it's a song called Earth is Ghetto, okay? I want to leave. I'm going to find that song one day. I'm going to play it for y'all. But, Ms. Storm, I have to ask you, what part of your poetry is the most important to you? Is it getting the message and the meaning across, being heard, or just writing?
It's getting the message and the meaning across, because sometimes people are confused about my day-to-day. And sometimes I lose an entire day, sometimes two or three, maybe more. But I lost Tuesday. So when I woke up and it was Wednesday, all I could say was, ooh, hallelujah, I made it. I'm on the wake-up list, because I slept until, like, it was after 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. So 9 o'clock in Chicago is 10 o'clock in Philadelphia and New York. So East Coast, that was 10. In my time zone, it was 9. That's when I woke up for the day last night. I missed the entire day of yesterday. And I was feeling some type of way. Then I had to tell myself, you know what? You might be mad because you didn't wake up. But you did wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not have been able to participate, but you can tomorrow. So on this morning when I woke up at 11-ish, because I never get up at the crack of day. I get up at the crack of, like, noon. When I finally got up, all I could say was, I can move around now. And I thought that was a major accomplishment for me. I don't know what it did for anybody else, but I know how I felt. So I need people to understand that my life isn't perfect. My body is broken. I'm not stagnant. I keep moving forward, and if I can, you can. And that's what I need people to understand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I get it. I'm there with you, honey. I get it.
And it's raining. Cats, dogs, and little children right now. in my town. The girls, everything. I'm almost like, what's that? And I was like, the rain. Yes, ma'am.
Wow, I wish it was raining over here. I am just, it's something about the rain and me that just are in sync, and I really, really need it right now, but it's dry as a bone outside.
That's
so chilly,
okay.
Too.
I got it for you. Let's go.
You and me too, Tina. It's
y'all
pouring
can
down in Alabama as well.
Oh, yeah.
That'll work. It'll work.
It is
cutting
up in Chicagoland.
Wow. All right, well, Miss Storm, what you going to do for us tonight? You going
to
give us something
I'm
that you
freestyle.
Can?
Yeah,
all
no, right. No. I didn't write nothing, but I was in the chat, and Ms. VIP was gracious enough to send me what the topic tonight was. So
okay.
All I simply want to do is make sure that y'all understand why it is that I do what I do.
All right, well, I'm going to move out the way. Get down off the stage. I'm on just the spotlight. And whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's most important to me about my poetry is getting my message across. I don't just need to be heard. And I'm not just writing. Because if I were doing that, I could do that any day of the week for anybody about any topic. But on today, I need y'all to understand it when I say, I lost yesterday. I took an L. There was no W in the win column for me because lupus took over my body. Couldn't get up if I wanted to. I tried multiple times, but it just wouldn't let me do it. I wanted to drink all of the gallon of water that I normally drink every given day, at least 64 ounces, but I just got in a few sips. And then finally, my moms had to come to the realization that they were about to lay it down for the evening, and I hadn't eaten anything. And they were like, baby, get up. You got to eat. And I was thinking, I can't because my body owns me. I'm not the boss. It's telling me, nah. And they were like, you got to try. So I did. And I dug deep, and I stood on my own 2 feet. And I was wobbly at first, like a toddler who's first taking their initial steps. And I staggered my way to the bathroom so I could use it and then wash my hands and my face. And when I came out, I was still shaking, but I didn't give up. Because I would be lying if I said that I would be faking, if I thought that I had it, because I didn't. I had already resigned myself to the face. My body said, nah. And I said, okay, you can try again another day. But I got the big beat. There's some things I got to do. And with you, I will not compete. I got to get up and make it do what it do. Even if I can't do anything other than just prove to my moms that I can fix myself something small to consume. We had gotten cheap chicken from the grocery store on Monday. Yesterday was Tuesday. I had already forgotten because it was in the p.m. and not the a.m. because the day had gotten away from me. So I put that wing and the drumstick on a plate, threw them in the air fryer, and heated them up, for goodness sakes. I took 2 pieces of bread out of the refrigerator and let them come to room temperature, and I wrapped the wing. I broke apart the flat and the drum on another piece of bread. Y'all have to understand, I didn't think I was going to be able to eat another time, so I had to make this time count. I ate both pieces of chicken, not that little blah, 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 whatever that is on the end of the flats that stands up because it had 2 feathers on it, and I was like, I ain't going to be able to do it. So I threw that part in the trash, but that flat and that drumstick of the wing, I ate them with 1 piece of bread. And then that drumstick, I ate that in its entirety with all the strength I could muster because it was all I had. But I knew for a certainty, even if I couldn't take 3 doses of medication that I am prescribed daily, I would at least eat enough for me to take my evening, my morning meds concurrently. I did so, probably someplace between 10:30 and 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. I fell back into a deep coma-like sleep when I looked at my phone and my Fitbit. They told me that I had slept for 11 hours and 20 minutes. Probably did. And I assure you that I didn't want it. It just happened to be the situation that I was in. And not because I wanted that to be the way that I was or how it went down, but it just is what it is. So I talked it up to the game. And I realized that I'm not going to always win, but I'll never give up. So I rolled up my sleeves. I took a shower and I got dressed. I had on daytime pajamas and I put on nighttime pajamas. And I went back to sleep. And that was okay with me because I lived to see another day. A lot of you don't understand what the struggle is when you're chronically ill. See, there's no medication, no prescription, nothing I can do, not even smoking weed, that'll make it okay for me. Mm-mm. The only thing that makes it a possibility is the fact that I trust and believe the process and my Heavenly Father. And I pray to Him every day so that He doesn't leave me. And then I move forward in the way that I was destined to do, not because I thought that it would be just a possibility because I'm strong or I name myself Gina Storm. Nah, because I have to. Because I need people listening to know if I can, you can too. It may not be easy, but it has to be done. So I roll up my sleeves and I keep moving forward. And I may not always have the strength to do it immediately, but I will do it eventually. That's just why I'm here, so that I can inspire all of you to know if I can, you can too. Indeed.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. It don't matter how slow you're moving, just keep moving. And don't lose faith. Don't give up. Never give up. Always understand that it's something better. These are just certain days we hit speed bumps in life. Slows us down just a little bit, but it doesn't stop us. I love that. That one right there, I can identify with the pain because, like I said, this is not one of my better days. And I thank you for that, Gina. Ms. Lips, what you got for that?
It's the optimism for me. It's the fact that, yeah, you slept the whole day away, that you and your illness had a battle yesterday, but you allowed yourself the grace to move through it once you did get up. Because sometimes we beat ourselves up for not matching what's considered the norm. The norm is to get up in the morning and get yourself together and have your breakfast and get yourself washed and dressed and move through your day. That's the norm. But that's not always normal for everybody. You know, what's normal for you is getting through the day however you have to. And that's normal for all of us. And I get it too. I deal with a chronic issue as well. So, you know, there are days when I wake up and just putting my feet on the floor hurts. And so I understand that what may be normal for the average person to get up and be out and moving about and stuff, that's not normal for me. It's the average thing, but it's not normal. So you have to allow yourself the grace to live whatever your truth is. And for those who don't understand it, that's their issue. It's not mine. And so the optimism in your pieces is very encouraging.
Thank you, Leopoldo Negra and Lisa Lips. I say that it's not the norm, the new normal. Still, a lot of people who struggle with whatever, and it may not be a physical disability. Sometimes it's an emotional a spiritual, whatever it is that's holding you back from being the best version of you, you can let it win for one day. But the next day, mm-hmm. you better fight with everything you got in you. And I am not playing. And I did. And I got up. And I did what I had to do. I couldn't yesterday, but I did today. And that's why I can say happily, happy Wednesday, because I'm here. And I own it. Because I lost Tuesday. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, Lucas won Tuesday, but guess who got Wednesday? Your girl. Yes. That's all I got.
Hey, Lady A, what you got for that?
Yeah, I agree with Lisa too. But you know, it's interesting to understand what normal is, because what are we comparing it to? You know, like
right.
your normal, Gina, because you live with chronic pain. Your normal may be to get up in the morning and get washed and dressed. Or to be able to take a short walk or whatever, those goals, and like that's your normal. That's how you live your life, and everybody's normal is not the same. That's why there really truly isn't any normal. And I think you being able to put yourself in the spotlight will touch many people who live with chronic pain, who have chronic illnesses. I have as well. And it's a difficult thing to disguise, I suppose, is what I try to do most of the time. You know, and normal is whatever your goal for the day is. That's our normal. And you spoke to that really well.
It is. You know, sometimes people think that normal is, you know, getting up and starting the morning, having a cup of coffee, getting in the car and going to work. I retired when I was 47. God willing, I'll be 54 in December. When I was diagnosed with lupus at 27, they gave me the 30 to live. So I feel like I'm 23. I call that my new birthday. Because the day they told me I was going to die, I didn't. And I've already lived 23 years past that expiration date that they gave me. What they decided was not my destiny. What I decide is how I live every single day. Because every day that you wake up is a gift. Open your eyes and live in the present. Unwrap it because it's yours. God gave it to you. Now do the best that you can with it. And that's all I got because I don't know anything else. Is actually how I live. So if I can do it, you can do it. La Perla Negra, Lisa Lips, if we can do it, it can be done. Don't think that we're special. We're not superhumans. No, we're just peopling to the best of our ability.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Human state, not just mine. We got this. Let's go, y'all.
All right. All right. We are the authors of our end. Okay, remember that. We are writing our own story. Ain't nobody else writing it for us. Okay, so yes, like I tell everybody, make it do what it do, baby. Yeah. Thank you so much,
yes,
Gina. Appreciate this.
Welcome.
But wait.
Thanks for having me.
Don't you stay out of here. Wait a minute. I'll open your mic back up. Don't you go nowhere.
Okay.
Would you tell everybody what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio's universe?
So every other Saturday night, you can catch me at the Just Day and Gina show here at the Epiphany Network. We do interviews where the poets come on and we do a deep dive into their poetry. We play tracks of spoken word rather than songs, and we do a deep dive into the poet. So if you're interested in being a poet that is interviewed by Just Jay and myself, please send us a message so we can put you in the lineup, because this is what we do. We love what we do. We love who we are. And we know that this is a necessity, not an option. That's what I'm doing. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Talking about. All right. Well, thank you for that. I'm going to send you on over there to Temptation Station. You know, you would have been joined by your brother Dexter, but he sends his love, you know.
That's
Licey
okay.
Lyson.
Exactly. So one love, one mic. I can hold it down. Come on, let's go.
All right, let's go. One love, one mic. All right, yeah, that right there. You know what? That was fulfilling. We need to talk. This. We need to talk about these things sometimes. You know what I mean? It's very therapeutic, because it's like a release. A lot of times we can't talk to people. They overlook. If somebody's not dealing with something, they're not going through it, they can't understand. They cannot be sympathetic, empathetic, none of that. You know, you get no kind of humility from other people that are not dealing with this. I was born with arthritis, so I've been in pain every day of my life. I don't know pain free. But I have tolerable days, thank God, more than intolerable days. And I've dealt with the cruelty of people about, you know, you, there's always something wrong with you. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. I'm in pain, motherfucker. You know? And it gets to be very tasking to walk past people, and you know they're thinking a certain thing, and then you got the ones that just say shit out of their mouths because they can't, not dealing with it. You know what I mean? So I appreciate when I have certain things in common with people. I don't wish this pain on anybody because it's debilitating, and it can make you bedridden at times, and it's no fun because other things kick in that nature calls for, and you can't answer that call like you want to sometimes because of the level of pain that to be dealt with. But I just wanted to put that out there, and I appreciate you, Gina. I love you. Thank you for your transparency and your strength. Now, ladies, we're going to open up this next microphone to, oh, this is the other half of the Just Jay and Gina show. We got ourselves a Just Jay up in here. Hey, Jay, welcome to Divas Talk. How you doing tonight?
My earpiece just went out.
Okay, well, use your handset. Or your
That's
intercom.
What I'm doing.
That's what I'm talking about. We can hear you crystal clear, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I just like to hear it in my ears, though. It feels like I'm just talking into the void now.
It's understandable, yeah, but I hear you.
Yeah, I'm going to survive, in other words.
I know that's
I've been
right.
Enjoying the show.
Well, thank you.
I've been
thank
enjoying
you.
The show. Oh, remember, everybody, y'all contact Gina because I don't want to be hearing about nobody about this show. She said, contact her. Yeah, y'all contact her. Do not contact me about that.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, the question of the evening is, what part of your poetry is the most important to you? Getting the message and meaning across, being heard, or just writing?
Getting the message and meaning across. I don't mind doing my piece for just a couple of people. But even if I'm doing it for just a couple of people, if it can be understood, and that's even better. That means I delivered it right. That means that I was able to convey that thought process, collapse and all the rest of that type of stuff. You know, it's good, but if we start to rely on that, and one day it's not there, it can be very hurtful.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Thank you for that. Thank you. Now, Jay,
yes.
What did you bring for us to listen to tonight?
I'm going to do a piece that... Why the hell can't I find this piece? I just had it. It's crazy. I'm going to do a piece that I have a video out for. It's called Inception of My Mind.
Mic is yours.
Appreciate y'all. The other day, I walked through the mountains in my mind. I trekked over the heights and I slid into the valleys as I tepidly walked into a cave, braving the shrill of bats and the feel of sliminess from both the multi and the no-legged varieties. And for my efforts, I emerged wiser. I walked down to my shore to wash myself in the bluer than blue sea, inhaling of this beauty. I dove into the waters and searched the depths looking for long-lost treasures, not easily brought up, even when found. But at the end of this trial, I managed to pull another chest back into my cave. Next, I went to my woods, where I pulled my machete and started chopping through the vegetation of wilderness unkept, hacking and slashing until I reached the clearing. While I sat at the stump of the great fallen cedar, I sat there and I stared. I stared into the eyes of a bear, an eagle, and a guinea pig for hours, while being jeered at by a hyena and a jellyfish with a spine. I grew weary of this game, so I left, poolside of one of my many oases of refreshment, taking in of its delights of food, drink, love, and procrastination. Full, I closed my eyes, and another day warped by, just for me to awaken, plummeting from a towering cumulonimbus that looked like Everest only in the sky. I'm falling, falling, falling. But I am not afraid, because I see a sea of cool, nice sand rushing up to meet me. I also see a table, an umbrella, a chair, and 1 liter of water, of which I did not partake, because I knew this was a trap that would taste best in little drops. So I sat in the chair at this table with a cloth canopy for cover, and I stared, scanning the distance, as the horizon's edge started to glow from the sun, and its radiant effects have already started licking the water from my body, trying to find a way to dry my will and my bones. And I know that if I walk my line straight, straight as an arrow right towards the heart of the sun, I might just live. And this is all I remember of this day. Exhausted and roasted, I walk to the edge of this oven to plant my face in the cool meadow of tall grass, being refreshed by the giant drops of dew. And the dew reflects the moon's light, glowing the way to quench my thirst. And like an animal, I lapped. And the water burned so good, searing my swollen tongue. It felt like razor blades as the water cut pathways through my collapsed throat. And I could feel my healing commence, being serenaded by the animals of the night. For they saw me from far off when the feet were dredging through white hot sands, heated by the big ball of fire till I was driven mad, walking in circles like a man drunk from cheap wines, because self-fermentation is the only thing he offers to dying men. A large drink from the cup of madness, the madness to not understand that a man is near his end. But I lay here, breathing, cooling, and rejuvenating in this meadow, having survived all these trials. But now, I must awaken to leave. And I attest to all of the things said in this poem are true, because this poem was an inception of my mind. Poem.
Whoa, hold on, hold on. I don't want to say nothing offensive, but it's that piece sounded like all types of madness, some like borderline insanity. Whoa. I don't know. Wow. I was kind of lost in that one. Honestly,
it's a highly visible.
It is visual, extremely visual. I saw everything, but it was psychedelic.
It was moving at a joint. When I do dream type poems like this, I have them. Normally, my continuity would be like one thing lead to the next thing, but I'm liable to skip from spot to spot to spot, and it creates a feeling that, like a real dream is you're just seeing scenes, and then all of a sudden you can be switching to the next scene.
Okay, Lady A, check for that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was, well, first of all, I want to ask you, Jay, could you read that line about walking straight?
Yeah.
There's a couple of lines, two or three lines that go with that. Hello?
All right, here we go. And the radiant effects have already started licking the water from my body, trying to find a way to dry my will and my bones. And I know that if I walk my line straight, straight as an arrow right towards the heart of the sun, I might just live. And this is all I remember of this day.
Yeah, that was pretty magnificent. I thought that your piece was... yes, certainly a dream piece, and what you were seeing, and I think it was interesting that, Danielle, you felt the same way as being sort of on an acid trip or some sort of a psychedelic adventure. But all that being said, it's still... reads as though... there is madness in the world. Like you're speaking to that. I think you're speaking to that, the craziness that we live each day. But then, you know, you talk about nearing the end. As man is nearing his end, he must awaken to leave. You know, I have to be honest, I'm not entirely sure what the meaning of this poem is, other than just sort of expressing your emotions as to what you're living on a daily basis or what you'd like to see happen. And maybe I'm missing the point altogether, but I thought it was very cryptic in a lot of ways, beautifully visual, but cryptic too.
Mm-hmm. Every place that was in here was a place that's in my mind. The cave, the ocean, the wilderness, or the vegetation unkept. Those are places that I seldom go to. The blazing sun, the desert. That's a place in my mind. As far as like you know, it's mm-hmm. just different mental states.
Okay.
Yeah, the tree, the big cedar that I went to, it represented wisdom.
Okay.
Wow.
Next left.
The question for me that stood out when you spoke about staring down the bear and I forget what the second animal and the hamster, those like represented three, for me, sounded like they represented three parts of who you are, the person who's strong and defiant, the part of you that is a normal being, and the part of you that has weakness, and you stared them all down till you got bored. So in some way you conquered them all. That's what stood out to me.
You know what? That's a good look at that, too, because when you were talking about it, I was actually seeing what you were talking about. And I think those are three things I still have not conquered yet.
Okay.
That part right there didn't speak of being triumphant. It was more like a stalemate and left.
Right. Yeah, the thing that I do love about the piece is, yeah, it is kind of all over the place and kind of psychedelic. But in the end, you woke up and walked away. So it, even though it is a trip and it was a difficult journey, you didn't let it conquer you. You still walked away from it.
Right. That desert was the hardest part, though.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I guess the desert being by yourself.
Oh, yeah. That part about looking to the sun, that said to me, still stay hopeful and positive. Okay. Dope piece. That's a really dope piece. Okay. Pretty deep. And I appreciate that. I'm going to be thinking more on that piece because it's a lot to unravel within it. When you are in a dream state, they say that we are actually awake when we're dreaming and we're asleep when we're awake. And there is a lot of madness and craziness that we have to deal with in our reality as we speak. And it carries over into our subconscious state of mind. And that may be a reason why we have a lot of chaos within our dreams sometimes. I can remember some of my dreams, but not all of them. And they say we dream every night. So I can only go by what they're saying. I know that there are times when I have dreams back-to-back within a dream. And I don't know how long I've been asleep. Right. And there are times where I can remember every dream that I've had every night that I've gone to sleep. For maybe a good week or a month. And usually when I'm going through something like that, it's telling me something I need to wake up to and face. So, I appreciate that. I really, really do, Jay. That was dynamite piece, yo. All right.
I'm glad it inspired the discussion it did. Y'all breakdown and observations of it were right on the money. I appreciate that. That makes the poor feel good.
That's what's up. All right, Jay. Now, before I let you skate off, I know your partner just left up out of here, but I still got to ask you, can you please let everybody know what you have going on in the world of the 50 Radio Universe?
Last Saturday, we had Lottie. This Saturday, there will be something going on in Epiphany. Y'all make sure that y'all be there. And then the Saturday after that, it's going to be the Just Jay and Gina show again. We're going to have a special person for y'all. So y'all stay tuned for that. Also, check with us for promos. If y'all need promos done, we are very reasonable. Come by and check us out. As y'all been seeing, we've been doing some high-quality promotions. Small House of Poetry, we're going to have Melissa Just Me Ellis there Sunday. We had a pre-interview with her. She is so wise. She is so wise. I think that's going to be something good for both men and women to be there and check her out. She's been in the game a minute. She's currently doing big things right now. She's moving. She's moving really good. Come by and check us out Sunday at 6 Central, 7 Eastern. It's about a two-hour show. We're over there on Clubhouse under the Small House of Poetry. Hope to see y'all there. Thank you, sis. I appreciate you. Hey, ladies, who all in the house today? Before I go.
Same. The Pearly Negra, Lisa Lip, and Lady X.
Yeah. Hey, ladies, y'all take care of y'all. Y'all the A-team. I'll be hollering at y'all in a minute. I'm about to slide and shuffle in Buffalo.
All right. Thank you very much. Jay, appreciate you coming through for that awesome piece and letting us know what you got going on. I'm going to escort you real quick on over to the Temptation Station.
Let's go.
Grab yourself something to drink and put your feet up, take your socks off,
Baby, baby. One love, one mic.
Take care, sis.
Thanks, Jay.
Wow. All right, ladies, we got one more caller up in here. And I'm going to shout out to For Real, baby, baby. I see you listening. I see you listening. We got one more caller up in here. So, I don't have my login book, and I should know numbers by heart, but I don't because I'm so used to seeing the name pop up when people call. I don't know phone numbers no more. He going to be mad at me if I don't recognize this number, but let me open up this caller. I believe this is Javi, my brother. Hey, Javi.
You got it.
Welcome to Beaver's Talk.
You got it.
Hey, Javi.
Hey.
Wow.
Hello,
ladies. How's y'all doing?
How what had this? So
what had this?
So, you know, I was supposed to be where I went, so I couldn't find the thing for the Zoom, so I was like, eh. I was like, just listen to this Wednesday. But we'll catch you next Wednesday. A lot of Gina Stone poetry Uber and going around.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of poetry Uber and going around. Just Jay was in there being phenomenal and rocking out with their socks off. And you know, and Gina, you know, thank you for living. I'm going to say it like that. Thank you for living. You know, diagnosis is hard, but it takes a person to have a strong personality and energy and soul to look through things. People tell you things all the time. Oh, you know, this is supposed to happen to you. And Stefania, her son wasn't supposed to, you know, supposed to be crippled by 2, wasn't supposed to be living past 12. And, you know, that's a whole dude, man. He loved Pepsi as much as me. He's like, yeah, let's get this peach Pepsi. I'm like, yo, let's do it. I was like, but they want, you know, there's certain Pepsi they want. At least in the world. I don't know why they won't give us a peach Pepsi. I have no idea. Anyway, let me stop rambling. What's happening?
it's all about you, baby. Great to have you in here tonight. You know, appreciate you. Really do. And you are so right. You know what? I got a niece that was told, they told my sister that she wasn't going to live past 10. And here she is with two big, beautiful babies, just got married to a fireman, and she just got her second degree, I forget, I think it was in criminal law or something like that. But she's doing amazing, and she's getting ready to hit 30. Yeah. I'm so proud of her. So, you know, these doctors can speculate, but guess what? Only one in charge of that is spirit, and that's it. Okay.
That's how it is. God has the final say on everything, point blank. That's how it works.
That's right. I know that's right. So how are you doing tonight, Javi?
No, you know, I'm getting myself, you know, getting on the giddy up, trying to move around, get stuff done. They just told me that this boy has asthma, which, you know, it was like the first of viral infection now that, like, it's asthma, so he has this tremendous amount of albuterol and all kinds of crazy stuff. And he's got to graduate to the pump and all this other stuff that's going on. So we're going to see. We're going to see. But, you know, I grew out of my asthma. Pretty sure he can grow out of his. And he's much bigger than I was. So I think he'll be okay.
Absolutely, he'll be okay. Jordan had asthma. And he grew out of it about when he hit 10. So he's good, you know.
Does he have any allergies that you're aware of?
He has some allergies, but yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we just gonna go the whole thing. He has to take allergy pills. There's a bunch of stuff he has to do now. But my thing is, like, I'm gonna try to naturalize the process as much as possible because all this natural stuff I've been doing has been working like 8 billion charms. So I'm gonna just keep going that route because. You know,
because if you can eliminate the allergy, like for myself, I'm very allergic to animals. So as long as I stay away from them, I don't have my asthma. So if he knows once he's tested and knows what he's allergic to and he can stay away from it, he may have great success in avoiding asthma attacks.
No, the only thing I know that he's horribly allergic to is shellfish. He'll swell up like you never seen him. He look like Will Smith from you know, what you call it, Hitch. He look crazy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Oh, I hope he can get the help he needs.
He's going to be fine. But a daddy you, he's going to be fine. Okay, already know. Okay. If you ain't nothing else, you're an amazing father. Okay.
Absolutely.
So he's just, okay.
I'm just saying. That's funny. Because I was like, you know, because I was in the midst of having a petty moment. Because, you know my ex-wife is. So I was like, I'm a bad dad, huh? I said, okay, let's do this. Let's try this experiment. Why don't we go on our children's pages and look at the photos and look at where they're at in the photos and who they're with in the photos and where and when those photos were taken and who took the photos. That's a real petty moment. I'm so glad I got past it.
I'm glad you got past it.
Right. I was like, yeah. I said, look at all these pictures. Who took those pictures? Who's the guy? I had to let it go. I was like, let it go. Yeah.
I feel you. We get like that because you know what? I think what keeps us from it because we know what we do. And we see the results, and we bear beautiful fruit from those results. So, don't let the pettiness take you over. Don't let it do it. Don't let it happen to you.
Don't let it happen.
Revel in that victory. Let people rattle on all they want to. You know where you were and what you were doing, and the pictures prove it.
Absolutely.
It was funny. I could be real funny, even funny. I'd be like, yeah, that picture you got up on your cover page. Who made that? Who made that? I made that? Oh, all these pictures. Yeah, I made those, huh? You know, funny. Just funny. But I'd be trying to let her breathe. I was like, you know, we're going to stay safe. We're going to let her tell her side story. I'm going to keep my side story. We're just going to keep it like that. You know?
The proof is in the pudding, okay?
Mrs. I'm not coming to barbecue because it's going to be awkward. That's your son. Ain't no awkward that you was invited, you should have came. I was going to be awkward. I was going to be awkward because you goofy. That's what that. Anyway.
Hey, because
you
makes it awkward.
All right, so I have to ask you the question of the evening, darling. And the question is, what part of your poetry is the most important? Is it getting the message and meaning across, being heard, or just writing?
No, I don't like none of the answers.
Again?
I don't like none of the answers. I don't want to choose any of those things.
Can you give us something?
All right. The main purpose of my poetry is truly, it's not to be heard. It's for me to express. And for me to express is one of the most important things to get out. True expression of your soul leads to your freedom, you know, internally, externally, creatively. These are the things that lead you, you know, to the point where you're able to express yourself. A soul that has expression is ultimately free in all circumstances. You know, can't be combined, can't be anything else. And so the main function of my poetry is always getting free, freeing myself, my inequities, my emotions, my ideas of how I see things, how I process the world, all of those things. My poetry is more than just that. It is process. It's process and process. You know what I'm saying? It's processing world, but also processing to other people so they can see exactly what I see. Sometimes I think of my poetry to be like a movie that gives people the right to see and sit down at the cinema of me and my soul and what I put forth. You know, and it's not for the validation of it. It's more for the exclamation of it, the more of giving myself to someone freely so they understand who I am. I aim not to be validated, but to be understood, which is much more than anything Gangway asked for. You know, when you can be understood and heard and felt, you know, through process. You know, whenever we write, we're processing something. And we're releasing. We're giving our radiation, our energy, we're broadcasting spirit. So I think that's the most important thing about my poetry. I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, I get weirded out sometimes when people tell me that they heard me or they can hear what I'm saying. Like, it's an amazing process to go from a portion of your life to being unheard to being heard a lot and understood and to follow and to see the things that happen and to be a virtual magnet that attracts like-minded spirits and souls, that it helps me to create this world that I live in that's beautiful. And I think that's the purpose of poetry, is to find, process, express, read it, to create a world that you can enjoy. That's the most beautiful thing that you have for your soul. That's my answer.
I love that. And I agree with you. I love it. Thank you for that. Awesome. Now, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you never disappoint.
Well, thank you. That's a lot of pressure. But, and that's a lot of pressure. I got something new, but I'm, you know I am with this music. You know, I've been trying to figure it out. And I got two things that I was really, like two music things don't go between. But I think what I'm going to do, listen. I'm going to just do this test on this one, but I'm going to use the other. So it's just too loud.
That's perfect. Oh, wait a
minute.
Hi. Ooh, turn it down. Huh? Turn it down just a little bit. There's some high parts in there.
All right, hold on. Let me see. Well, I know what to do. Just hold on for a second. How's that?
Yeah, that's too loud? Pretty cool. No, that's good. That's good. Mic is yours.
All right. Hold on for a second. All I want is you. I know nothing except the spirals of your breath, confectionery needed sweetness, what can I say? I want you close. You and I belong to others, but when we are beneath colors, I only know you. Watch me, slide, picking my feeling, all of your intention, regret, my angel, I would stop breathing for you. As if death was the final frontier, as I steer the ship from troubled waters. We both have daughters who only think of their father's love, no matter how bad they may be. I want to see it's about family and the toxicity, the abuse, the misuse of love as a shackle. We try to spackle these misgivings behind walls. I am both trouble and solution, clarity and confusion. When lies keep me out to sea, when you need to lighthouse me over these rough seas, you just got free, leaving with nothing, having nothing under the suffering of matrimony. Love that is phony, we can all change our minds. The soul ties that bind my heart is kind, it remembers love and sits still. A jagged little thrill that gets thrilled, and when the high wears off we go. In different directions. I take affection youth and corrections, as if it's the only thing that stirs our connection. And it's not the moments that we share. Not the moments that we share. We are close. I will boast about how you found me instead of me finding you, this beautiful spot that overlooks a bluff, these trees and leaves that is the land of make-believe. You no longer imagine yourself with me. There's no enchantment. The spell wore off, laments with the intent that these decisions are paying the cost. And who shares the blame? This walk made lame, this charismatic rhetoric with nothing to show for it. What's for you? It's for you. Forgetting that you prayed and manifested me. You were also my wish, my heartfelt desire, phenomenal passion, possibilities, the way I laugh, the tickling of my soul, the ways that arms, hands, and legs open that can feel your skin's beneath, the relief of being found, the sounds, the interlocking fingers, the lips, the tips. Wanting you here is a mission, the moment of forever. But scarce, hard like marmalade, the presence, the evidence of admission, these positions are tough. You, mom, me. And for me, it's still rough. Back in the depths of your hurt on this journey to your work, doesn't seem to have space for me. You speak of friendship and peace like bells, and my distance grows. While we learn to forget about love. And that's a good one.
Wow. I heard effect, cause, and cure. Is that you always come in here making love to our minds and shit, huh? That was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. I don't know what to grasp at first, but there was a part where you said you are, oh my God, you said it a couple of times. Damn it, I lost it just now. I love that piece, man. I'm going to have to listen to it again. And I got some more feedback on it, but that was beautiful. You put your heart, you know, your words come straight from your heart, and it sits there in a way where, I don't know if y'all can understand what I'm about to say, but you can actually lean on those words and be comfortable with them, because it's not just your words, it's your tone, it's your energy that you exude. And it's so calming. It's so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I love that piece, y'all. I don't think I heard you do a piece ever that I didn't like or I had questions about where I didn't understand it. So thank you for that. Appreciate it, huh? Really do.
Thank you.
Ms. Bliss?
Yeah, Javi, you know how much I love your poetry. And, yeah, I love the way in these kinds of pieces that you just lay your heart out in the sun and let us see it beat, you know, through all the things that you've dealt with in relationships and in raising your children and in just day-to-day life. And you make that heartbreak and that struggle so beautiful when you write it. And so, you know, I have such reverence for the work that you do, and I aspire to be that someday.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. An amazing journey. It was a trip that, from listening to the beginning, and maybe I'm interpreting it wrong, but that journey of yours through life is just amazing and shows the dedication, the being so determined to survive whatever you're going through, survive and succeed. And that was, it just was really very moving to me.
Absolutely. Coming in here, just moving all the furniture around in our hearts. But it's all good. It's all good. I love it, man. Thank you so much, Hal. Before you skate off, though, before you skate off, could you please tell everyone what you have going on in the world of Epiphany Radio Universe?
Oh, boy. Hold on for a second. Okay, hold on. I got you. Hold on. All right. Wow, this Tuesday on the 15th Radio Universe, a For Real Entertainment Network, where we proudly go where poems have never been before, we present to you 153.0. It is an all-star 3.0. We will be featuring Ocean's Rain, Messiah 22. There's like five other people on there. It's going to be a whole extravaganza of poets, as well as the drift in the building. And if you know what we know, we can tell you always be prepared. Bring your prophylactics, get your to protect it. Don't have baby. We have a robust litigation department. Cover it up. Make sure you do it once, because this one is for sure to make sure that you get pregnant. Now, that being said, it's going to be an amazing show of poets from all over. I've been waiting for a long time to get Miss Dahlia 22 on here from North Carolina, Miss Ocean Rain from Florida. It's a bunch of folks that's going to be up in the building. It's going to be amazing. We also have Malia, the exclusive from Houston, Texas. It's going to be a show. It's going to be nice. And, of course, we're going to have the drip in the building to do everything and make those things happen. It's going to be beautiful. Here on the For Real Entertainment Network, the Radio Universe. Take your socks off. Baby.
You know, you do really, really great promos and commercials. You have that voice. You have that energy. Throw that in there.
Listen. Number one, let me shout out the boss, man, because he literally lets me be who I am. Like, he literally is like, okay, you can. Like, I have never heard him be like, nah, don't do that, you know, except for the time he wanted to fire us. Or probably did fire us, but we just showed up the next day like nothing ever happened. Now, I thoroughly enjoy, you know, like only until recently I started missing shows. But, you know how I was. I wasn't missing a show for nothing. I'm like, you ever miss a show? No. Like, you got this going on. I don't care. I'm doing stuff. You know, now I got to take some time. As a matter of fact. Which is crazy because somebody said to me today, they was like, do you even sleep? I was like, yeah, I'm working on that. But, you know, it's amazing. There's amazing things going on, man. There's amazing stuff that's happening. I'm very proud to be a part of the 15th Radio Universe, to be part of the family and love everything about it, man. It's one of the best donations of the time that I could ever think of. And it brought me the family I know, love, and enjoy, and the people I get to be around. So it's always an amazing time. And so, you know, this is where my heart is, you know. You know my heart, my life, my peace and happiness is drip. I ain't gonna sit here and hold you. But, you know, 50's right
on. We love you too, high.
That's what it is. But to me is the squid eye. And that's what it is. So anyway, let me get on with the getting on. Love you guys.
Love you too. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. And I'm out.
Ladies, what a way to end the show. Mojave is an amazing poet and an even better person and friend. I got nothing but love for him. That's my brother, I'm trying to tell you. Ladies, thank you once again for always riding with me. These past, I don't even know how long it's been now, but, you know, my diva is in her healing time, and even though you ladies know that this is temporary, you still stay dedicated and loyal, and you ride with me every Wednesday night, and I truly, truly appreciate you and love you for it. You bring your best to me, and the energy is just amazing. I love you, and can you give some closing words? Because I'm about to pass out here.
Well, what a lovely thing to say for us joining you during this time, and I appreciate you so much. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't want the ride to be over. I love being here.
Me too.
And as far as, you know, and I love doing the Epiphany thing with you, but I love even more that I have true sisters and friends in both of you, and that we can build and let these divas talk on this Wednesday night thing and really get some clarity on things that are going on in the world and in our minds and what people deal with on a daily basis. We talk a lot of stuff about a lot of things that we go through, and a lot of what we talk about is therapy for somebody who's listening.
Amen to that, yes.
Yes, yes. All right, ladies, thank you for that. As always, to my listeners, my callers, I want to thank y'all. You know, you are the reason why Epiphany keeps going. And I appreciate you for everything. The callers that come in and bring their unique styles and their amazing poetry, I love you for that. And I thank you for that. And as I always say, make sure you get that good relationship going with yourself, because there in my spirit. Continue to love and respect one another. Stay safe out here. And I'm going to take you out with, let's see. Let me see if I can find a song. You know what? You may not be able to close with a song because I can't get to one, but I love y'all, and I'm going to say good night and peace.
Good night.
Good night.